On July 4, 2026, the United States will celebrate the 250th anniversary of the acceptance of the final wording of the Declaration of Independence. 56 men in Philadelphia, representing about 3 million people back home, agreed to declare independence from God, and in the same document, they declared dependence upon the Almighty for His help. A new book by John West, Dr. John West of the Discovery Institute, is called Endowed by Our Creator, the Bible, Science, and the Battle for America's Soul. Newt Gingrich says about this book, John West has performed an important role for our 250th birthday as a country. I'm Jerry Newcomb. This is Vocal Point, and we welcome Dr. John West to the program to discuss this new book, basically to talk about the biblical ideas that help shape the creation of the nation. Dr. West, it's great to have you back on the program. Thanks for joining us.
Jerry, it's great to be here.
Okay, so tell us about this book, and I'd like to do two discussions with you. First, to kind of get an overview on the good ideas that the founders had and their predecessors, frankly, that helped make America what it is. And then in a later discussion, we'll talk about some of the kind of attacks, if you will, on our founding principles. But at this time, let's just talk about what's right about America that the founders got right.
Yeah, I think one of the great things about America is that America is founded on some fundamental beliefs, and they're articulated in the Declaration of Independence that some people, even going back to, say, people who aren't Americans, like the great G.K. Chesterton, said that America is the only nation founded on a creed, and by which he was referring to the Declaration of Independence. And, well, what are those ideas, and where did they come from? Well, the Declaration talks about the laws of nature and nature's God. What's that? Well, it actually goes back to the biblical idea that there's a law that God gave us through the Bible, but that He also wrote some of our moral laws on our hearts. And so the laws of God are the laws, you know, from the Bible, the moral laws of the Bible, but the laws of nature's God are those laws that He's written on our hearts, sort of the natural moral law that, say, someone like Thomas Aquinas or C.S. Lewis or actually John Calvin or Martin Luther all believed that God's moral law was given in the Ten Commandments, but it was also given written on our hearts. And so that's the background. The whole Declaration starts with the context that we live in a universe where the moral laws are established by God and both in the Bible and written on our hearts. And then it talks about how all men are created equal and endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights. Now, where does that idea of a creator come from? Well, again, obviously, in a biblical worldview, God created us all. And actually, it, the time of the founders, the science of the, say, scientific revolution, people like Newton and Kepler and others who were devout Christians, they thought that we could understand nature because it was created by a supra-rational God. And that's why we could understand nature as being coherent. And they also thought that nature pointed evidence to God. So when the founders said that all men are created equal and that there's a creator, they weren't just using, you know, rhetoric or just, you know, invoking God as this abstract concept. They actually were living in a time when all the scientists thought that nature provided concrete evidence that a creator God existed. So when they made God the basis of, you know, providing our rights, again, that wasn't just rhetoric. They thought that was reality. And then, you know, where do we get the idea that we're created equal? Well, you know, sadly, most human cultures don't think that humans are equal, and they think that they're radically unequal. And in fact, many religions, like think of the creation stories in Islam, not in Islam, but in Hinduism, where you're actually born into a caste system from eternity. The Bible teaches, in fact, though, that all human beings are created in the image of God, and that fed into this idea of basic human equality. Not that we're the same in the exact, you know, that we're not all great mathematicians, we're all not great athletes, but in our fundamental rights, in our souls, in our fundamental capacities of humans as opposed to animals, we are equal. And that also was informed by Christianity. Interestingly enough, you know, most of the founding generations were Christians of one sort or another. There were some who were deists, some like Thomas Paine, who really didn't like the Bible. But on this point of where the idea of human equality came from, both the Christians and, say, an Enlightenment deist figure like Thomas Paine both agreed. Even Paine said that he thought that idea of human equality originated with Christianity. And he thought that was a good thing about Christianity, even though he ultimately rejected Christianity. But even he agreed, and same, say, the Christians like Benjamin Rush, a devout Christian who signed the Declaration of Independence, he thought the same thing. And I talk in my book, many people don't realize, because they say, well, how are we really equal? And even some Christians, they think, you know, we're equal in the eyes of God, but they don't really understand, well, in what ways are we equal? And so I go through seven ways that the founders talked about how we were equal. One, we are, you know, just quickly, we have reason. Unlike, say, mosquitoes or plants or vegetables, human beings can reason. That's a fundamental difference between humans as a class and everything else, you know, every other living thing on our planet. Two, humans have a moral sense, an ability to debate right and wrong. You know, birds or even dogs don't debate right and wrong. Humans have a moral ability to be immoral or moral and to debate those things and to have this moral sensibility. Humans also are equal in that they all really have the capability of worshiping God. And we often reject God because we're sinful. But as, you know, St. Augustine put it, you know, our hearts are restless until we rest in thee, that humans are actually fitted for religion. Now, that's on the positive side. But on the negative side, and this is something definitely owing to Christianity, the founders thought we were all sinful. We're all equal in that we're sinful. This was a key difference between us and, say, the French Revolution. The French Revolution, you know, did pay lip service to human equality, but their version of human equality was this utopian scheme of the perfectibility of man. America's founders did not believe that at all. And, you know, that was another influence of the biblical influence that we're also equally sinful. And that plays into some other things. But let me just get one other thing, maybe not going through all the seven ways we're equal, but one other thing, the founders actually thought that we had a soul that existed for eternity. And James Wilson, who signed, one of the few people to sign both the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution, wrote about that humans have an immortal soul and that was something that distinguished us from the animals. Now, so we're created equal, but then the fundamental beliefs also flowing from that is that since we're equal, we're also endowed by our Creator equally with certain inalienable rights: life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Why is the right to life so important? And why is it so fundamental? Well, because we didn't create ourselves. And so that means that, you know, fellow human beings don't have the right to arbitrarily take other people's innocent human life. Today, when we hear the right to life, we often think, if we're Christians, we think of pro-life, you know, against abortion. Interestingly, the founders thought the same way. Going back to James Wilson again, who signed both the Declaration and the Constitution, he wrote that the reason suicide was wrong and against the right to life is because we didn't create ourselves. God gave us life, so we didn't have the right to take it. He even wrote about why abortion was wrong. This is back in the 1700s, America founder James Wilson, that abortion was wrong, a violation of the right to life, because, again, God grants life. We don't. We don't create life in the womb. And so that's one of the fundamental rights. And then liberty and the pursuit of happiness sort of go together. But here's where some people sort of mistake what the founders believe. When they say liberty, they distinguish liberty from slavery on one hand and anarchy or license on the other hand. Liberty was sort of the golden mean between the extremes. And so liberty was not the right to do bad things, do immoral things. It was the right to do good things as creative individuals created in the image of God. And all the founders wrote about that. And so sometimes today people who talk about liberty or you know, meaning that, well, you have the right to use prostitutes, you have the right to do whatever you want, use hallucinogenic drugs. No, that's not what the founders were talking about. Liberty is not the same as license. And then, of course, they really provide the basis for limited government. in that, because they say that government exists to secure those rights, those basic rights, not to make you happy, not to give you an equalized income, not to provide you even with medical care or even education. The government is to secure us in our fundamental rights given to us by God. And so government is limited. And then because we're equal, legitimate government should be based on consent of the governed. And so those are the key concepts in the Declaration of Independence. And each of them really owe a lot to the Christian tradition and the biblical tradition.
Would you say, Dr. West, having studied the Declaration of Independence, that you could basically, in effect, totally secularize it and say, well, we like these principles, but we're going to take God out of the equation, which is, in effect, what people try to do. Can we have the principles of the Declaration of Independence without God?
Well, yes and no. So the Bible clearly teaches that God also gave access to even people who don't believe in the Bible some basic moral truths.
So in effect, what you're saying is common grace would still allow for these things. But here, let me, in effect, I've asked you a leading question. Here's a quote from Thomas Jefferson himself. And can the liberties of a nation be secure when we have removed a conviction that these rights, you know, come from God? And the implied answer is no, they cannot.
Yeah, no, we can't. I agree with that. So let me, but again, there's a little bit of nuance here because I think sometimes Christians misunderstand some things. I think, can you have the right to the Declaration and do those apply to you even if you're not a Christian? Yes. Can you have them without God? No, because the Declaration says whether you're a Christian or not, there is objective evidence both in the Bible and throughout nature that a creator God exists and we're dependent on him. And so our life and our rights to liberty come from him. And so that's pretty much, the core of the Declaration. And so you can't get beyond that. I mean, you have to accept that. But having said that, even if you're not a Christian, do these rights apply to you? Yes, they do. But can a society really end up adopting and preserving these things if there isn't vibrant Christianity? Probably not, because, as I said, these are nourished by... So let me just say, like the Ten Commandments, for example, most cultures do recognize that murder is wrong. Now, even without having a full Christian understanding of things, even those who don't believe in the Bible. Having said that, it's those societies that value human life and understand that we're created in the image of God, as the Bible says, that really nourish and provide a grounding for believing that. But so I'd say the principles are true for people, even if they're not Christians. The principles are true. But a society needs certainly the Bible. I'd say that certainly the Judeo-Christian tradition, in order to help galvanize and inform and perpetuate and provide a grounding for these beliefs.
Sure. All right. Now, you have referenced a couple of the mentions of God in the Declaration of Independence. One that's there also says that for the rectitudes of our intentions, yeah, we appeal to the supreme judge of the world. Dr. Peter Lilback, founder of Providence Forum, which he generously donated to Corbridge Ministries, and I'm privileged to head it up, he once told me that, look, that's a reference to Jesus, because the founders knew that Jesus is the one to whom judgment is entrusted. And they're saying, you know, we're appealing to him because we have no other human resource here.
Yeah, there are about four references to God in the Declaration, and they're each very interesting. It's certainly the case that most of the idea that most of our founders were deists is not true. And certainly at the Constitutional Convention, most of them were Orthodox Christians. And I think that's likely the same is true of the signers of the Declaration of Independence.
All right, we're out of time. Discovery.org. Again, Dr. John West, and we'll have him on again to discuss his very important book, which is called Endowed by Our Creator.